Now on this Power Friday, how about a little bit of fun as I go back to a conversation that had us looking back in the day at radio back in the day with Miss Evelyn Lowe. Welcome to Speaking With, and it is good to have you with us another day. And I tell you what, I know that you are going to be glad you have joined us for another edition of Speaking With Carl Thornton, because this first hour, our guest, yours and mine, is Miss Evelyn Lowe. Some of you may say, okay, Evelyn Lowe, don't know her. But I guarantee you, if I say Miss Soul, some of you will say, wait a minute, I know that name. Yes, you do. Miss Soul, who was in radio broadcast industry for how long?
Oh, about 25 years.
25 years. Starting how far back?
Well, maybe more than 25, 64.
Wow, 64. You've been for quite a while. So I got Miss Soul. I have Miss Evelyn Lowe. I have Evelyn the Motivator in the house with me. It's good to have you with me today.
Hey, it's great to be here. My pleasure.
I've been looking forward to this literally all weekend. I like it when we can get our week started off like this, where we can have someone come in and really and truly just get us all inspired and motivated for the rest of the week, to be sure, but to plant something in us that can help take us through the rest of our lives.
All right.
And so I'm really excited about this. And you got started in radio in 64. Mm-hmm. What got you started in radio?
Well, it was something that I always wanted to do. When I heard Wayman White, who was Dookie Doo, when I heard Mal Cook,
yes.
And I said, well, this is what I want. And so I went to New York to broadcast this announcer's training studio. And got my training there. Then I came, and I was hired the same day at THB.
Awesome.
That I came back to Augusta.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I tell you, I hired the same day. And, you know, you mentioned some names. Mal Cook.
Mm-hmm.
And because, you know, in the 60s, I got here actually in 67.
Mm-hmm.
And we had the Big WAUG, WAUG.
Right, that's right.
Certainly WRDW. And, I mean, and we're talking back when Sly and the Family Stone and, you know, all these guys, you know, were really just doing some phenomenal things in the field of music. And I was always fascinated by the announcers. Of course, then we called them DJs.
Right, DJs.
And you don't say that now. Wow, you call
an
announcer DJ now. I have been really corrected about that. But I was just always fascinated by how the announcers / DJs really just make things flow on the radio.
Well, it was a lot of work, but, you know, once you was in it for a while, it became like child play, especially if you loved what you were doing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we had to cue up the records, and, of course, we had to entertain by talking, and that's what, and I would love to talk, so it was very easy for me. And things flowed because, like I said, we had the opportunity to actually connect with our audience.
Yes.
And
yes. Because, in fact, when you talk about connecting, of course, then in the 60s, even in the 70s, mm-hmm. a lot of it was still very community-oriented. You were listening
That's right.
to announcers who really lived right there among you.
That's right. So you got that chance to connect. And so it's like talking to a friend every day.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
talking to people that you like every day.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just easy. It was fun.
And did it for about roughly 30 years?
Yeah, somewhere in there. And then, you know, stopped and taught school for 16 years.
16?
16 years. I was at Shaw University for 10 years, Payne College for 6 years.
Wow. You were in the education field quite a while, 16
right.
years.
16 years.
Did you see any major differences in the way those two careers affected you, broadcasting versus education?
No, not much, because I was teaching radio, teaching television.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, it was not too much of a difference.
Okay. Shaw and then Payne.
And then Payne.
And now Evelyn the Motivator.
That's right.
Now tell us how you got there.
The motivational speaking.
Yes.
It was something that was in me all of the time. And I knew that it was time to do this.
As a matter of fact, one of the things that you were sharing with me was the fact that even while you were teaching, you mentioned that you taught mm-hmm. broadcasting, radio mm-hmm. and TV,
mm-hmm.
but you were also teaching your students some other things about life that I imagine they're carrying with them for the rest of their lives.
That's right. Constantly telling them that there are no limits, that they can do anything they set their minds to. And especially in exam times, like I was telling you that, there were times when if I didn't motivate them, they would come to me and say, hey, we need a pep talk because I can't pass this test is hard or whatever. But you know, when I finish talking to them and explaining to them, there are some things you have to do. You have to not only think that you can do it, you have to know that you can do it, and then you have to take some kind of action. You can't think, well, I think I can pass this test but not study. So you know, I have to motivate them to do, you know, their best.
Yes. And you saw concrete evidence of...
That's right. Those grades, the grades shot up.
That's
every
amazing.
Time. Every time.
And simply by getting them to channel those thoughts in the right way.
That's right.
Believing in themselves that they could do it.
That's right. That's the key. If you don't believe that you can, then if you believe you can, you can. If you don't, then you won't.
Hmm.
I mean, that's the bottom line.
Yeah.
As a man thinketh in his heart. An old
so
proverb.
Is he. Yeah, mm-hmm.
We are whatever we think we are, and we can do whatever we think we can do, you know. Sharing a story with you, and it's taken from one of the speeches that I've done, Hold That Thought and Bridle Your Tongue.
Uh-huh.
I found this research study in a book, and it's entitled Leaves of Gold, where this scientist tested three British soldiers to see how their physical strength would affect, how their mental strength would affect their physical strength. So what he did, he gave them a gripping device to hold in their right hand. And when they gripped the device, it registered at 101 pounds. So then what he decided to do was hypnotize them.
Hmm.
Once he hypnotized them, he said to them or suggested to them that they were very weak. So when he gave them the device again to grip, no matter how hard they tried, it would only register at 29 pounds.
Hmm.
He turned around and told them that they were very strong. The device registered 101 pounds to the normal. The average grip, remember, was 101.
Right.
Well, it went back to that 101 and then increased to 142 pounds. So the result of the test was that when they thought they were strong, they were 40% stronger. When they thought they were weak, they were 70% weaker.
Mm.
So we basically are what we think we
wow.
are. And we can do whatever we think we can do.
All right, ladies and gentlemen. Ms. Evelyn Lowe, also known as Evelyn the Motivator. And as I mentioned to you last week, and again, those of you who visited the website, you know that today it is about Hold That Thought.
And bridle your tongue.
And bridle your tongue. So where does it start, or do we just start somewhere? Do we start with what we're saying? Do we start with what we're thinking?
Well, you start with what you're thinking because you say what you think. So you have to start with your thoughts. You have to get those straight. If it's negative, and you'll know if it's negative if you actually search your life out and say, where am I right now? Am I miserable? Am I happy? So if you're miserable, then you know that you need to start right there. And all you have to do is change the thinking. If you're miserable, then that means that you're thinking something that's sad and blue. So just change that to happy thoughts. Think about the times when things were good. Think about the expectations that you had of yourself and the world, and then change back to that. Change the thoughts. Once you change the thoughts, you change your life, basically.
Mm. And does the thought process have to be, I mean, really, really solid in the sense that there is never any doubt that this which I want to happen will happen before the person should begin to speak what it is that they're hoping for? Or can they, even while they're somewhat vacillating, going back and forth with the thought process, go ahead and start speaking what they really want?
Yeah, that works. But so let's think about thought for a minute. What is it? We have to think about what thought is, and then we can think about how it actually affects us.
Okay.
So what thought is, it is the energy that's in our minds that actually changes the chemical and the physical makeup of our brain cells. So when we have a thought, that thought is then transferred to the subconscious mind. And then by electrical energy, it is actually imprinted into our brain cells. And so it brings forth almost immediately. You know, so that means that you're thinking something, thinking the same thing over and over and over and over again. It's being imprinted into your brain cells. And then it's going to bring forth anyway. It's going to come to you, what you're thinking about. I mean, you were sharing with me some things that you thought about long ago.
Yes.
And here you are today. So the more we think about something, the more we think about it, the more it's imprinted into the subconscious mind, and that's what brings forth.
That is interesting. So the thought isn't just something esoterical out there somewhere in our mind floating around. It is literally something that is taking place with the brain, and it's somewhat physiological in nature.
That's right.
That is interesting. And so that thought, in fact, when you said that, it made me think of something that I read some time ago about the importance of when we're really processing a thought, that we process it through to its conclusion. In other words, and I'll just use this as an example. If in my mind I decide that I want to get from Augusta to Atlanta, mm-hmm. and I decide that I'm going to map out that route in my mind, and I start in Augusta, and I get the map all the way to, let's just say, Greensboro. But then I stop there. I've actually done myself a disservice. I need to make sure that I complete that thought until I've actually arrived at my destination, which is Atlanta and not Greensboro. So if I'm taking a thought of where I want to be 5 years from now, let's say if it had been 10 years ago, mm-hmm. and I had said, well, you know what? I kind of think that I would like to be in radio one day, but I never ever really took the thought anywhere else. I just left it there. I may not have completed the thought process and may actually have some kind of negative impact on the way the impression on the brain actually completes itself.
But it was imprinted once you thought about it more than once.
Yes.
Because every time you heard a DJ, you thought about, I wonder how would that be if... So you thought about it more than mm-hmm. once, and that's why it was imprinted in your brain. You did not remove it. You did not delete it. So it was still there. And it didn't go void. It came back to bring you what you asked for. So our thoughts can either bring us what we ask for or we can repel. Let me explain what I'm saying. Okay, let's look at this. Everything scientists says, that everything in the universe is electromagnetically inclined, energy, so to speak. And we know that we're energy as well, because if it was a lot of us in a room, it would become very warm because each of us emit the same amount of energy as a 100-watt light bulb. You know how a crowded room gets hot?
Yes.
That's energy. So the same energy applies when we are speaking or when we're thinking. That energy, the same energy, turns into electrical signal, goes into our brain cells. Well, now, the universe is electromagnetically inclined, meaning that there's a law of attraction and a law of repulsion, right? So this energy in our brain can either attract something or can repel it.
That is awesome.
You attracted something when you started to think it. It could have gone either way.
Mm-hmm.
If you love something, you're going to attract it. If you hate something, you're going to attract it.
So interesting. Even if you hate it,
you're going to attract it. Well, let me give you an example. Let's look at fear, for example. We attract things that we fear. Last year, September 14th, there was a commuter train accident in California. It was the Metrolink, and it was the Pacific Union commuter train that had this collision. There was a survivor on board. One of the top media companies interviewed the survivor, and he said, and I quote, he said, I've always sat on the back, he said, because I've always feared that trains would crash into each other. And then he said, and I quote, and what I feared really came to me. Mm. So things that we fear, things that we love, we attract those things. Give you another example. Right in Colombia, there was a plane crash last year, right around October, September, somewhere right around there. There was a famous DJ and drummer, the only survivors. A famous magazine company interviewed the drummer. And what he said, and I quote, he said, I always felt a fear that I'd be involved in a plane crash. Mm. He said, and it happened. But when I think back to something that I read, when I think back to that, we have time?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. When I think back to something that I read, there was Job of Uz who knew long before the scientist about the law of attraction and repulsion. For he said, this thing that I feared have come upon me. This thing that I was afraid of have come unto me. Mm-hmm. So we can actually attract things, or we can repel those things. We can attract things we like or want or need, and we can repel those things that we do not want, like, or need.
Ladies and gentlemen, our guest, yours and mine, Miss Evelyn Lowe, the motivator. You come back. If you go anywhere, don't stay long. We will be back in just a few minutes. We want you right here with us for more Speaking with Carl Thornton and our guest, Evelyn the Motivator.